I'm Susan Strait, editor of Dimensions Magazine, and I am delighted to be here today with Mary Roach, who the Washington Post has called America's funniest science writer. She's the best-selling author of 6 books, Grunt, Packing for Mars, Bonk, Spoof, and Stiff. She's received numerous awards, appeared on national media such as The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, and written countless articles for publications such as Outside, Wired, National Geographic, and the New York Times Magazine. She also reviews books for the New York Times, and she's currently working on her next book, which will be out in 2020. Mary, it's so nice to speak with you today.
Oh, lovely to speak with you, Susan.
Your first job as a part-time public relations specialist for the San Francisco Zoo was in a trailer next to the gorilla exhibit. How did that experience influence your career?
Well, I think anytime your place of employment is right next to something called Gorilla World and people knock on the door of your trailer and say, "Is this Gorilla World?" And you're like, "Not quite." You know, I think it put a sense of the absurd and the surreal in my head early on. And also, I developed a taste for reporting kind of behind the scenes goings on that I found fascinating. For example, the veterinary staff one day was doing a laser plantar wart removal on an elephant. So I was there, you know, while they were doing that, and that's just the kind of thing I get very excited about. About taking a wart off an elephant's foot. I developed a taste for that kind of reporting and that sort of ability to step into these otherwise unknown worlds, and that's kind of where I stayed.
Yeah, and that sort of leads into my next question, which is that you really are a very effective science communicator. What are some of the most important things that you do to translate complex topics to a general audience?
I think anytime you've got an opportunity to paint a picture, I mean, elephant wart surgery is a great example. I mean, this is a big wart. There's not only, like, there's the visuals, there's also, kind of gross, but the smell of, you know, using a laser on, well, it doesn't have to be an elephant, but, you know, anybody's skin, it's a very specific smell. You've got the character of the elephant, the veterinarian, the challenges of anesthesia. All these things kind of come to life when you can provide the detail and paint the picture instead of saying, removing a plantar wart from an elephant is a delicate procedure. So, okay, that doesn't stay with anybody, but when you start to have the details of what does the wart look like, how much does it weigh, how long did it take to get it off, what was the veterinarian like, that, all of a sudden you have, particularly with kids, writing for kids, you have brought them into this world that they didn't know existed just by showing them something interesting and strange.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about elephants, which is kind of ironic because the topic of this issue is the power of small. In what ways do you think small can be powerful?
Well, it's interesting. I was recently actually reporting something that had to do with elephants in India and the fact that they're so big makes them dangerous in ways. I mean, they don't have to be intending to hurt anyone, but they are so big. So people have a very cautious approach to elephants, and I wasn't raised with elephants, so I it was very hard for me to think of them as scary. When I was in India, I think of food poisoning, bacteria, viruses that I might not have been inoculated for. So my fear is all about the very, very small prions, bacteria, viruses, partly because some of my reporting has covered that. So I was way more afraid of the very small than the very large.
You know, you write about science, and you speak so intelligently about science, but you say you don't have a formal science degree. In what ways have the lack of formal credentials helped your science writing career?
My lack of credentials has made my job both harder and easier. Harder in the sense that I don't have the background in the big picture. I feel at peril of getting it wrong, of sort of missing something I should know because I just don't have the background. But on the plus side, I have this sense of wonder. My sense of wonder it remains intact because I start a topic not knowing anything about it. So when I did gulp, for example, which has to do with everything between the mouth and the butt, the alimentary canal, that is, I learned about, say, stretch receptors, like the stomach. This is how the stomach, when the stomach fills up, it activates these stretch receptors, which tell the brain you're full or there's a lot of gas in your stomach and it's at peril of bursting. Just that concept of a stretch receptor. I was like, whoa, that's how it works. And there's also the rectum. They work in the rectum. They work in the bowel. I mean, I didn't know how it worked. And so I get very excited when I, number one, learn that for myself, but also I'm able to communicate that sense of wonder to somebody else who has a stomach and a rectum and an intestine, and they can go, oh, now I understand how that works. So not to say that somebody whose career revolves around the digestive tract, say, wouldn't still have that sense of wonder, but I think that they become fascinated by things on a much more, micro level. They start to lose behind some of the audience because they're very excited about cutting-edge science, which I don't have the background to understand, and a lot of readers might not, too. So in that sense, communicating the wonder of science, I have kind of a built-in ability to do that just by dint of my own ignorance.
What's your which science center is your favorite, or what's the one you visited most recently?
Oh, the Exploratorium in San Francisco is absolutely my, it's the one I've been to most recently, for sure. I took my granddaughter there recently, and it's a little over her head, but just the cacophony and the rainbows bouncing off things and that weird giant mirror that they used for simulations of docking the space station, which everything's turned upside down, and you can reach out and touch your hand in the air. I mean, she had fun with that, even though she didn't understand the principles behind it. But the Exploratorium, I've always enjoyed because you can make it as complicated as you want to. There's very very complicated, like, here's how an electric motor works, or here's how a light bulb works, but momentum or surface tension. I mean, they're sort of basic concepts in science. They're really wonderful to. I wish that just a month in the Exploratorium had been my introduction to science as a kid, because I think I would have gone into science. But just their ability to make things visual. There's a wonderful. They also combine art and science in a way that. But it's fun. It's a very fun place. Like, there's a chair that you sit in, and it kind of times how long it takes a nerve, like an impulse in your foot or your ankle, to reach your brain. It's this chair, and you've got your hand on the arm, and something happens down at your foot, and it actually calculates how long it takes the impulse to travel through your body. So it's just this, the creativity that goes into that place is amazing. And it's just huge and sprawling, and there's something for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Mary, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was fun.